my own. And there are trials I can face all alone. But you said you'd walk with me down life's troubled road. And you said, come unto me.
Y'all hear all right out there? The sound was fine. It must be just the monitors up here that's turned way down. It was low. Y'all could hear, but it was low. We don't want it to be comfortable. Okay? We want it to be just a little above the comfort level so you'll listen and stay awake. All right. And Brother Morris, when our speakers get up, give attention to their sound and make sure it's like they want it and adjust it for them, okay? It is a joy to have Brother Brown and Brother House with us this week. We cut up a lot, but I have great respect for these men and for the ministry God has given them. And only heaven will reveal what stewardship revivals have meant to our church in teaching us to give. I'm confident our giving level in missions and our regular offerings would be far down from where it is now had it not been for good Bible teaching, Bible principles in the area of stewardship. And we're honored to have Brother Jim Brown and Brother J.C. House with us. And let me tell you, Brother House has canceled meetings to be able to attend to his wife. And I'm grateful that he's made arrangements for somebody to come in and be with her so he could be with us this week. That means so much to me. And I hope you will continue to pray for her and her complete recovery. She's having a slow, difficult time in the recovery process. Brother Brown, last night your message was a blessing. And we thank you for it, and we're anxious to hear you tonight. Come right ahead, sir.
Thank you, preacher. Appreciate that. Well, amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm certainly glad you're here. Wouldn't be a lot of sense to me coming if you didn't, amen. So I appreciate you coming. I know it's Monday night. I know all of you had other places you could be, and I thank God you chose to come to God's house on Monday night, amen. And I hope you'll get something that'll be a help and a blessing to you. I'll try to get right into it and be brief with what I'm saying. I know Brother House, he's such a kind gentleman that if I preach too long, he'll cut his back. And I really don't want him to do that. I'd like for us to get to hear him. And I may be kidding myself. That may not be true. But anyway, that's the way I'm going to say it, okay? If you got a Bible, go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. When you found your place, if you're able to, stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll not read but just a few verses this evening, beginning verse number 42. Well, back up to verse 38. Let me give you just one part of that verse. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. Now, it's important that you understand that they were existing in a drought. They were in a time where that there was not food, there was not provision. And beginning verse 42, the Bible says, "And there came a man from Baal-Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husks thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord." Now I'll leave off reading there in verse number 44. You know, I learned years and years and years ago that by listening to missionaries and listening to preachers and listening to motivational speakers, that my emotions could be stirred by stories and by things that people told. And I certainly am not critical of that. I think it's a wonderful thing that God endowed us with emotions, and emotions are a wonderful thing in a courtship. They're a wonderful thing in marriage. They're a wonderful thing if you hunt and fish. They're a wonderful thing if you play ball. Preacher was telling me a little while ago about his doctor that was dove hunting and was up in a tripod stand, in a deer stand, dove hunting, got excited, fell out, broke his ankle. Well, that's sort of the way sometimes people do. They kind of get excited. Can I tell you this about excitement, and I'm for it 100%, but emotion only lasts a little while. Principle lasts forever. And if you only give emotionally, now I'm not against emotional giving, I think it's wonderful, but you need to learn to live not by emotion, but live by principle. Amen. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is a principle. I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing to you. I'll pray and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time together this evening. Bless it. Make it profitable. Help your people now. We'll give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated if you would. When I pastored among those Cajun Catholic people down in South Louisiana, they used a word that was pretty interesting. It was a word called langnap. It simply means a little extra. And there sometimes would be restaurants that were named langnap, or there would be stores that were named langnap. And it always meant the same thing. It meant that when you went there, then you expected to get a little something extra. Well, can I tell you that you and I serve a God of langnap? We serve a God whose principle is to always give us a little something extra. Now, I grew up hearing preachers preach that God was only obligated to take care of your needs, that all God did was just gave you what you had to have, and that's all God would do, and that's all God was obligated to do for his children. And yet, you know, in raising four children, I found that I didn't just give them what they had to have. I found that I gave them beyond what they had to have. I found that I spent money on things, forgive me, but they didn't really need all that bad. Just because I loved them and because I wanted them to have something a little extra. Several years ago, our daughter Amanda was in school out at Oklahoma Baptist College, and I was out there preaching. Dr. Vineyard said to me, he said, "Brown said you spoiled that girl, didn't you?" And I said, "Well, I don't know exactly what you mean." I said, "If you mean that she's not responsible, no, sir. She's very responsible." I said, "If you mean she won't work," I said, "No, sir." I said, "I hadn't spoiled her." I said, "If you mean she was not involved in God's work," I said, "She had a bus route running 70 before she came out here to school." I said, "I don't know exactly what you mean by spoiled her." I said, "I don't think I spoiled her. But," I said, "if what you mean is that I gave her everything that I could possibly give her that I didn't think would hurt her, I spoiled her rotten. I said, I gave her everything I could. I said, I drove by your house a while ago and saw that new 22-foot bass boat with that 200 Black Max on it. I said, I saw that new motorhome sitting in your driveway. I said, really, I treated my daughter sort of like God's treated you. It's kind of quiet in here tonight, isn't it? Now, I've looked this crowd over. I'm telling you, it's been a long time since you prayed for daily bread. Amen. God's been good to us, hasn't he? This principle of the Word of God is throughout the Word of God. Here in the story that we've read, and I'm not going to really, I'm just going to give you a lot of these stories and then draw some conclusions from them. But can I tell you, this story, there was more than enough. Now, they didn't think there would be. It didn't look like there would be. Shouldn't have been. But there was more than enough. I mean, there was some left. You remember the story we use of the faith promised child, Samuel. The word Samuel means ask of the Lord. We have a son, our second son is named Samuel. Between Jim, our oldest one, and Samuel, there's 5 years. We lost two children during that time. And so by the time Samuel was born, we were wanting a baby. And we had asked the Lord to give us a child. And so when he was born, we named him Samuel, ask of the Lord. Hannah went before God and said, I don't have a boy child. I don't have a male child, but if I had one, I'd give him to you. And God gave her Samuel. And she gave him to God, and God gave her 5 other children. Come on. Now, that is the God that you and I serve. I'm simply talking to you tonight about this thing of a little extra, this thing of laying nap, because that is our God. And sometimes you listen to the world and you base things on your feeling and your emotions, and you don't understand the principle that is involved in God going beyond what we have to have. Back in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, where we started, if you go back to the early part of that chapter, you're going to find a widow woman. You're going to find 2 boys that are about to be sold into bondage because their father died owing some debts, and as a result of that, then the boys are going to be sold so that the bills into indentured servitude until this bill is paid. And you know the story of how she goes to the man of God. And the man of God starts the way they always start. What do you have in your house? And she started the way all Baptists start. Nothing. And then she got to thinking about it and said, well, I do have a pot of oil. And the pot of oil was enough, wasn't it? Come on. Said, go borrow thee vessels, borrow not a few. And you know the story of how that God provided and how that when she poured out, then it continued to pour out and continued to pour out and continued to pour out and continued to pour out until all the pots were full. Now, I don't know how many pots she borrowed. I don't know whether she borrowed 50 or 500 or 5,000, but I do know this. According to her faith is the way she lived. Did you hear me? According to her faith is the way she lived. She got her debt paid and she lived of the rest of it. And may I say to you tonight that you and I had our debt paid when Jesus Christ died on Calvary. But our living after that is totally determined by our faith. And a lot of us have just borrowed a pot or two. Amen. Now, and God fills those. But boy, wouldn't it be something if we'd have borrowed a lot. Amen. If we just by faith do something for God. So we find that God's plan is always, you can go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. You find another widow woman there. And you know the story, how that the prophet of God shows up. God said this woman was going to take care of him. And she's in worse shape than he is. Amen. You don't think God has a sense of humor? I mean, he sent the prophet down to her for her to take care of him. Got there and she's planning on dying. Evidently, there's a whole bunch of Baptists in that area. Amen. She said, all I'm going to do, we're just going to have this last supper, me and my son, and we're dying. Amen. But God provided, didn't he? Can I tell you, there was plenty. There was enough. You go to Matthew chapter 14. We talked about just a little bit last night. And you know about those loaves and the 5 loaves and the fishes that were there and how that God provided not just for the 5,000, but for the women and the children and then the 12 basketfuls that were left. You go to Matthew 15, and you got 4,000, and you got 7 loaves, and it says a few small fishes. Evidently, that's the ones Brother Smith called, amen, the small ones. But anyway, they had just a few small fishes, and how that the 4,000 were fed, and how that there were seven basketfuls that were taken up when all of it was over. And so you see the principle that's involved, and that is that God does not provide just enough, but God provides abundantly more than enough. Amen. Now, let me draw some conclusions from that, and we'll go to one more verse in the New Testament before we get through. But first, let me give you just about five things, okay? Number one, what you have often seems insignificant. You know what they'll say about the fish and the loaves? What are they among so many? You know what the woman will say? I have nothing but a pot of oil. You know what Moses would say? When God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he said, a stick. Come on. But it was that stick that he held out over the Red Sea, wasn't it? It was that stick that he threw down in Pharaoh's court. It was that stick that he struck the rock with. Almost makes you think God and the stick's enough, doesn't it? Amen. Do you understand tonight what I'm saying? I'm saying that what you have will seem insignificant. We look at it and say, well, man, this doesn't amount to anything. So what? So I can do that. But what is that? I mean, we're supposed to evangelize the world. We're supposed to accomplish great things. What's my little bank account, or what's my little talent, or what's my little ability? But you've got to understand that although it may seem insignificant to you, then in God's hand, it's not insignificant. May I give you a second thing? Whatever you have is never enough. Well, it didn't get much help there. So I'll just say it again. Whatever you have is never enough. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that whatever, it don't matter how much you have. I mean, if you got a little or you got a lot, it's not enough. Somebody said, how much is enough money? Somebody else said, a little more. Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, because the truth is that whatever we have is never, ever, ever enough. And you know, when you look at the job of evangelizing the world, and you look at the job of trying to reach the Metroplex with the gospel, and you look at the job of trying to teach young men and young women and educate them and train them to go out into all the way. And men, when you look at all that we're trying to do and that we have a vision to do, preacher said yesterday, he said, if I told my men all God put on my heart, it'd scare them to death. I said, well, don't tell them yet. Do you notice Nehemiah didn't tell them all at once? Amen. He said, I'd not told them all that God had put in my heart. But boy, aren't you glad you have a man that God put something in his heart? I'm telling you, I'm some places I wonder if God's put anything in anybody's heart. Can I tell you, a preacher God needs to put something in his heart. Can I tell you, a father that's trying to raise godly children, God needs to put something in his heart. But if you look at it, you know, we feel like that what we have, number one, is insignificant. And secondly, we feel like it's inadequate, don't we? I mean, it's just not enough. Am I the only one here that has this problem? Well, y'all need to kind of act like you understand what I'm talking about then, okay? There's a third principle that's involved here. And that's a positive one, but you've got to get it, okay? What we have has to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care how you see it. I don't care if you see it insignificant, if you see it insufficient. It doesn't matter. However you see it, then it's still got to be brought to Jesus. Do you remember before you were saved, you had to bring it to Jesus, didn't you? I said, do you remember before you were saved? And now, you didn't have anything to bring him but wasted life. All you had to bring him was a loser mentality. All you had to bring him was a sin and degradation and all that stuff. But you know, when you found out that God would forgive you and cleanse you and give you eternal life, it kind of excited you, didn't it? And you were glad to bring it to him. But now you've been saved a little while. And you're not doing too bad. So if you're not careful, you don't want to bring what you have to him. Let me ask you a very personal question. Do you think God's impressed with your bank account? I mean, street of solid gold, do you think he'd be impressed with what you and I have? I don't think so. I don't either. But we still have to bring what we have. Whatever we have, whether it's that stick, or whether it's that that little boy with his lunch, or whether it's the corn and the bread, barley loaves that we read about in the beginning, it doesn't matter whether it's a pot of oil. I mean, what we have has to be brought to Jesus. Because as long as we keep it in our hands, then it's very limited in what it's going to accomplish. Let me give you point number four. Point number four is, when God blesses what you have, then it becomes unlimited. I said, when God blesses what you have, it becomes unlimited. Do you understand that? I don't think you've gotten it yet, okay? The woman that borrowed the vessels. Did you know that woman could have been the wealthiest woman on the face of the earth? All she had to do is keep borrowing. According to her faith. You say, man, I wish I could get a promise like that. Oh, you got a whole book full of them. Do you understand tonight that though Christ paid our sin debt, and though we receive that through faith, then now everything that we do, we are to do by the faith of the Son of God. We are saved by the faith of the Son of God, and we serve by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Now, whatever that makes me, that's what I am, because that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, we limit, Matthew 13:58 says a lot of other places too, but Matthew 13:58 says concerning Christ, he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, the one thing that limits us, the thing that condemns us to hell is unbelief, and the thing that limits the Christian is unbelief. And so we can find that when we give what we have to Christ, and when he takes it and touches it, then whatever we have becomes unlimited. Amen. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Go with me where preacher was last night. I'm sure he'll go back there a little bit later, but I'll not mess anything up. He's already gone through verse number 9. Look at it with me, if you would, please, in chapter 9 and verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now may I say to you tonight that when you got saved, you did not get saved by your righteousness. You got saved by his righteousness. Let's see, how old were you when you got saved, sir? 38. Took a lot of God's righteousness to save you, didn't it? Yeah, I figured you were pretty sorry before you got saved. Amen. So took a lot of God's right. Let's see, how old were you when you got saved? 15, took a lot of God's rights to save you, didn't it? What about you? How old were you when you got saved? 14, took a lot of God's rights. According to her, it took a whole lot of God's rights to save you. Now, can I tell you this tonight? Doesn't matter when you got saved. I got saved when I was 8, but it still took God's righteousness to save me. If you're here tonight and you're saved because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us. And so all of us were saved by God's righteousness. Is that right? So that means that God must have less righteousness now than he had when he started. No? You don't think so? Now you're correct doctrinally and theologically, but you're digging a hole for yourself. Because see, here's what you're saying. You're saying you can give it away and give it away and give it away and give it away. Give it away and give it away and give it away and give it away and have just much left when you got through giving away when you started. Is that right or wrong? Is that right or wrong? You say, well, yeah, but that's God's righteousness. Well, what have you been given? Yeah. So I'd say you can too, can't you? I don't think you're understanding, but the only limit there is to what we can do is the limit we place on ourselves. We can indeed do mighty things through Christ Jesus. But that's the only way. See, what we want to do, we want to get together, and please don't be offended by this, but we want to talk about, boy, together we build and together we do this, and man, if everybody will just do their part, and that's true. Because the world does that, don't they? I mean, you look at the millions and millions and millions of dollars that have been raised for this campaign, for this election. Did you know there's been enough money raised that we could pretty well evangelize the world with one election? Now, forgive me, but all that is a bunch of worldly people giving money. Now, I wonder what would happen if God's people did it God's way and let God touch what they have. Amen. I guess I want to say it this way, okay? When what you have has been touched by God, then you can give it away forever. Do you understand that? You can continue to give it away. You can continue to do it. You know, we serve God, and I'm right in the middle of it, okay? I live in the same kind of world you do, but the majority of what we do is in the flesh, isn't it? I mean, and thank God that people are dedicated. Thank God that people will serve Him. But boy, I wonder what would happen if we took the time. Now, this church goes soul winning, am I right? Do you take the time to get with God and pray and get God on you before you go soul winning? Now, it's commendable that you go soul winning. It's commendable that you get out and knock on doors and talk to people about the Lord. But you know, if you're going to take the time to do it, you ought to take the time to get God in on it, shouldn't you? Amen. Now, most of you are interested in keeping people out of hell. Most of you believe in evangelism. Most of you believe in all that kind of stuff. But what do you pray? Could I tell you something I've been guilty of? Boy, I wish this wasn't true. Wish I didn't have to confess this either. Now, I don't think you can ever go wrong giving. But did you know sometimes I'm not giving in faith? I've listened to preachers talk about giving sacrificially and all that kind of stuff. And I understand all that. But did you know that according to the scripture, that when I give, it activates God? Come on. And when I give, it activates a promise that causes God to bless me. Now explain this to me, okay? If I give you $100 to invest for me, and then I come back and I take the money that you have made and I give you more so that you can enjoy living more. And the more you invest, the more you work, then the more money you get. Then how much really are we giving? We're really investing, aren't we? Come on. Did you know if I could convince you tonight that if you put $100 in an offering plate, that in 30 days you'd get $1,000 back? Every one of you would do it. In fact, I'd go borrow some money and put some in myself. Wouldn't you do it? Well, you'd be an idiot not to if you really believed it worked. You say, oh, you don't think I'll get $1,000 back? I don't know. You might, but I can't promise you will in 30 days. Amen. But I can tell you this. If you do what God said, if you do, God honors His promises. And what we do then becomes... there's no limit to what it does because the only limit is our faith. Now, I'm for you giving whether you give in faith or not, but if you don't give in faith, then you're not going to have the blessing that God wants you to have. Amen. Because faith is what honors God. And so since we're going to do it, okay, we are going to do it, right? Since we're going to do it, why don't we do it in faith? You say, well, I just don't think you can give expecting to receive. Well, don't tell the farmer that. Preacher's telling me today about going out and cutting some okra in his garden and all that kind of stuff. Do you know why that happened? Because he knew if he put some seed in the ground, he'd have okra plants. He didn't have to go out there and pray that it would not be turnip greens. Come on. He didn't have to go out there and put up a picture so God would know what he wanted. All he had to do is plant the right thing. Do you know all you've got to do is plant the right thing? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what do you need? Well, I need understanding. Well, be understanding to people. Well, I need love. Well, love somebody. Well, I need money. Well, give. Come on. Now, the principle is a principle of God's abundance and of laying down. That God gives beyond that we expect or that we normally would see. Let me run through them very quickly. Five principles. Number one, what you have often seems insignificant. Number two, what you and I have always is insufficient. It's never enough. You understand it? Number three, what you have to bring to Jesus Christ. Number four, when God blesses it, then what you have becomes unlimited. And number five, whatever you give to God, touched by God, then you can give it away forever. Do you understand that? When I say forever, I don't mean just you never get it back. I mean you can continue to give it away. I believe with all of my heart that God has a righteousness to save every person on the face of the earth, don't you? I believe He does. Now he gave me his righteousness, he gave you his righteousness, and his righteousness remaineth forever. And can I tell you that just like that woman's pot of oil remained forever. As long as she was pouring it out, it was there. Do you know when it finally ran out? When she quit pouring it out. Amen. You know what we do? We get in a bind. Come on, don't look at me like that. We get in a bind and we cut off what we need to keep us going. Now, is that dumb or what? Could I tell you, if you're having financial problems, don't tell anybody I said this, but you'd be better off to rob First National Bank than you had to rob from God. Because God is the one you need to bless you. Amen. So we keep doing what God said for us to do. I love the stories, don't you? I'm glad they're in the Word of God. I hope you get a principle that'll make a difference in your life. Let me pray with you, and we'll get into the rest of the program. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time together this evening. Bless your people. I pray that you'd help us, that by faith we would determine that we'll walk with you, that we'll give, that we'll live, that we'll win souls, that we'll do what we do by the power of Almighty God. Lord, you said that that was not of faith was sin. You said without faith it was impossible to please God. So, Lord, we ask tonight that you'd increase our faith. Help us to do what you've asked us to do. We give you glory for all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.